Now we're on.
Now we're on.
Yeah, officially on.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well done, Mitch,
I'm
for
tired.
I'll bet you are. We haven't even started yet and
I
you're
know.
exhausted.
I'm gonna go home now.
That's fine. I can do this by myself. No, I can't.
Jeez.
I think you proved it earlier. We had the biggest technical difficulties just moments ago. It's
It's
just insane.
painful.
Painful, in fact. But now we're going. Now we're cruising.
It's fitting for show number 84.
Yeah, it's that age, isn't it? It's that age where things start to fall apart. 84.
I think the only thing that can make me feel better, Dan,
Some Ben Gay?
no,
No.
a little Bellamy
Oh,
Brothers.
fuck yeah.
I feel like maybe we gotta go find them Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah. No, the Dukes of Hazzard, they would never appreciate, they wouldn't have the subtle, they wouldn't be as refined as they need to be to appreciate the Bellamy Brothers in that song. Actually, Mitch, it's not the Bellamy Brothers you should be appreciating with that song. It's a gentleman named Larry E. Williams.
Okay, we talk, why Larry E. Williams, Dan?
Because he wrote the song. And get this. This makes the song like so, just galvanizes it for me. He was a roadie for Neil Diamond. And he
Oh,
wrote the song. And I think it makes all the sense in the world. A roadie for Neil Diamond wrote that song.
yeah.
The most beautiful love song ever written, next to probably something written by a Beatle or
Do you think
something.
that Neil Diamond was maybe a bit too hard on him, and he was trying to encourage Neil to just let his love flow instead of trying to be such a businessman all the time?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Neil thwarted him. I bet he kept trying to push the song onto Neil, and he's like, oh, man, what do you know? But The Bellamy brothers knew genius when they saw it, and they went with that. It was awesome. Apparently, it went to number 2 on the Hot Adult Contemporary Tracks list, which yeah. kind of sounds sick what else when you is think on, about what, it.
What's number 1?
On Hot Adult Contemporary Tracks. And it went to number 21 on Hot Country Singles, but, you know, you can't expect them to know good music when they hear it.
So, I guess, in case you haven't picked up, that was Dan's pick.
That was one of my favorites. I had to hear it. It's been in my head for weeks.
I've never heard it before, but I have to admit, you've shown me some
something sweet from the past.
Something sweet.
Well,
yeah.
Dude, wait till next week because you guys are on holiday, but the week following, apparently that song was. There's an adaptation of it by a German pop star named Jürgen Drews named Ein Bett im Kornfeld.
Okay.
And I'll try and find that one and bring it in.
It's probably going to be super, super electro modern.
I can only hope.
So what do we, but the thing is on the last show, show number 83, we promised everyone we were going to do the Pepsi taste test challenge.
Yeah. The double bind Pepsi Jammy Jam challenge.
The super jam.
Pepsi and this is based out of my insecurity that everyone who listens to the show tends to like Mitch's picks more than mine. So I'm making sure that it's not just that it's Mitch picking it. Because I got to know. I got to know for real.
I think that this could be a good feature on multiple shows going forward.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we'll just do 2 tracks.
And then we'll have the blind Pepsi challenge.
We'll have the blind Pepsi challenge. Let the listeners decide.
Hi, baby.
And then we can keep a tally.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, it's fair just to do it with one song.
No, we got to know who the champion is.
We
want to
know a trend over time.
I don't have enough competition in my day-to-day life, so I need us to compete on these weekends. You and me, mano y mano, song to song.
So we're not going to do the whole show isn't going to be...
Double now.
Pepsi challenge.
No, that'd be too much.
We're just gonna do 2, so we're gonna do those right now.
We'll start with track A. Track A could be picked by either of us, and then followed by track B, which could also be picked by the other person who didn't pick track A. So
we'll try. I'll try. I'll post some sort of voting mechanism on the site by the time this thing goes live as well.
Or you can just comment with your theories.
Or you can just comment. Either way. And then we'll tally it up and we'll announce the results. So here we go. Two tracks in a row. Track A and track B.
Should we say what the tracks are? We can do that. We can say what the tracks
are. Go ahead, Dan. You say what the tracks are.
Well, track A is by Fleet Foxes. Am I right?
Sure.
I'm right. Yeah, it's Fleet Foxes. And track B is by... Let me go to our list. Yeah, the Lonely H. It was the Lonely H. So, one of us picked one, the other picked the other. Leave it to you to decide.
All right, here we go.
I was following the eye, 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 was following the pack. Scarves of red tied round their throats to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn round and there you go. And Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow red as strawberries in the summertime. to keep their little heads from falling in the snow. And I turn round and there you go, and Michael, you would fall and turn the white snow red as strawberries in summertime.
You decide.
You decide. Is track A Mitch or Dan? Is track B Mitch or Dan?
Oh, is it? Are they deciding who's who, or are they deciding which one was better?
Well, both, I think you could say. Let them pick both.
So,
Or, no, actually, no, if they're voting, if they're saying something, they should say which track they thought was better. You're right. That's more important. That's far more important. Which track was better?
Which track was better, i.e., which one did Mitch pick?
Dude, you're ruining it. You're totally ruining it. I knew this would happen.
Okay, no. Officially, just vote on which one you thought was better.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So the Pepsi Challenge is now we've got that out of the way. I feel like maybe I can let my hair down.
Good.
So big news.
What's that?
We didn't mess this one up.
We didn't mess what up?
The Americans. We didn't mess this up.
Oh, no. It's been a great couple weeks, huh?
People like stop me on the street when they hear my accent. Like, are you American?
Yeah.
Good job.
Well done, old man. Yeah.
First time in my life that I'm proud of you guys.
I know. It's brilliant. My friend Mark called me at 4:30 in the morning, literally crying. He was so happy that like the right decision we made. He's like, Dan, I finally feel like I can relate to this country again. You know, like we actually make real decisions. Like we make responsible decisions. It was so great to hear, and I felt so much the same. It was just unbelievable. You couple that with the fact that Lewis Hamilton won the Formula One too, and it's like, God, what an awesome week it's been.
Yeah, I know. With the exception of the Proposition 8 in California,
is that the gay marriage thing?
Yeah,
shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
You don't have to go too far east to get to the Midwest from on the West Coast. Is my theory.
Yeah, I mean, Florida did the same thing, but that was expected because Florida's pretty conservative. But
yeah, that's a shame. But I wouldn't be surprised if that gets rocked pretty soon. It's going to change. It'll change quick.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. It's what's weird, though, is it was like you had to vote. You had to, like, vote to change the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the part that won was in favor of changing the Constitution to ban gay marriage. Like, so crazy. Like,
hard to believe.
Like, the odds were stacked against that proposition winning, and it still won.
One of the things that I've been having a hard time wrapping my head around about the whole thing is that apparently they're not against, the people that oppose this are not against gays getting married. They're just opposed to it being called marriage. Or something.
Yeah,
it's this weird fine line. They're not opposed to gay couples having all the legal same rights. They're not opposed to that. It's about having it be the same institution, which seems really weird.
Yeah,
like it's a really fine line. Like,
Well, if that's the case, then I think maybe Ren and I will just do a civil union because I'm kind of like
solidarity.
Yeah,
I mean, in solidarity with
them. Seriously, I don't want anything to do with that marriage thing. If that's what that's gonna, if
exactly
it's gonna be all about some like. Religious thing,
Exactly. It's just strange. I mean, I can. It's totally. It's just segregation all over again. It's segregation. It's like, yeah, you can ride the same train,
separate
but not
equal.
Yeah.
It's not equal at all.
Separate but equal is not equal.
No, it's twisted.
So yeah, but back to the whole. On a more positive national or global scale, I guess. Right on the 5th of November, Tom York posted on Radiohead.com. He said, they have this like blog thing that's running.
Uh-huh.
It says, did I fall or was I pushed? ?" In celebration of November 5th, Johnny's birthday, amid bonfire and fireworks in the UK, and the dawn of a new era in politics in the USA, I humbly donate a remix of Harrow Down Hill, that was finished ages ago during the band webcasts.
Awesome.
A small reminder of the dark days of Bush's ... So let's
awesome.
Check it out. Tom York's remix of Harrow Down Hill.
Good find, Mitch.
Yeah.
was awesome.
That's cool.
That was completely my speed. That was the kind of thing I just want to cruise to.
I thought that was really good. I thought that was better than anything that went on Eraser.
Yeah. That I mean, I just...
Except for maybe Black Swan. Black Swan is pretty good.
It makes me feel like I'm cruising in any way. Like either I'm on the highway or on the snowboard or cycling through the city or something. It's just a good movement song. Yeah. I love it.
But it's not, he had some effect too that made it was like back masking or something. It made his voice sound like it was like he was singing backwards or something.
Back masking? I've never heard of that. It's sort of,
it's like backward reverb where they analyze the sound and they put the reverb in front of the sound and then it comes
weird.
Like sharpens it toward the end of the sound rather than
I don't know if I've ever heard that. I'll have to listen to it again.
Rather than expanding, it contracts.
Yeah. I'll have to listen to it again and see if I can understand what you mean. No, that was wicked, dude. Good find.
Yeah. Well, it's Radiohead, you know.
Can't go too wrong.
I'm kind of a freak about Radiohead. But did you also on The Guardian this week?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you read The Guardian. If any of you are looking for a cool UK. A news source, check out guardian.co.uk. This week they had a music special where they took five jazz artists' interpretation of the Radiohead song Nude from In Rainbows.
Oh, whoa.
And they're great. They're really good.
Man.
You know, it's like jazz.
Yeah.
Because that's like the whole thing with like jazz, but they would take a pop artist's song and then make a jazz song out of it. That was like sort of the whole thing.
Yeah.
And
that sounds interesting. Do you know who the artists were? Who the jazz artists were?
I can find out. It was one of them was called Food.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Was it sort of freeform? Ultimately what they did it get kind of experimental or did they keep it pretty rigid jazz format?
Super, like you can't even tell that it's that song.
Hmm.
I mean, except for like one little melody, like at one point.
Yeah, when everyone comes together or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, or like in the background, you know, like some weird stuff. But
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I thought I heard that The Guardian's actually read by almost as many online, at least, by like it has as much online traffic from the States, I think, as it does from the UK.
It's an amazing website, and it's like the on paper they're like the fifth or something mm-hmm. in the UK,
but online they're
number one.
Number one, yeah.
So they're they're pretty cool.
They must be doing a whole lot more online than they are doing in their paper. I mean, their online system must just be a lot more expansive. Hey, wait, doesn't your brother work for them?
He does. He does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. It's actually really cool. Like, because just to talk to him about like.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff that The Guardian is doing, like, you know, with their whatever, with their technology and whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Oh, man.
Oh, speaking
I still haven't had a chance to meet him.
Speaking of technology, again, back to this whole, so I just found out the band. So you were asking the bands.
Yeah.
The jazz band. So one of them's called Food. Another one's called Trio VD.
Trio VD.
Another one's Jonathan Gee.
Okay.
And Leanne Carroll.
Never heard of them.
So they all
checking
did.
Checking out though.
Yeah.
And you can find.
Oh,
them
and then a guy, Empirical.
Empirical. I like his name.
So yeah, if you just go to guardian.co.uk and then type in.
Can you download the tracks?
You can. There's videos of most of them. You can't. I don't think you can download them. That's why I was gonna play one, but I couldn't. Find one to download.
Oh yeah, well maybe I can find them on my new favorite Russian website. Did I tell you? I told you about this, Mitch.
Yeah. Oh no. What's it called?
Oh God, you're putting me on the spot.
Oh sorry.
Hold on a second.
Well, I was talking about my favorite song on the Thom Yorke's Eraser is Black Swan, and I've trying to find. Some background on that because I've heard other like sort of intellectual type people like talking about Black Swan, and it always sounds sort of It sounds like something like one in a million, or you know, like sort of the that one thing that you wouldn't anticipate happening, but could happen, so mm-hmm. so it does happen.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of thing. And I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it's the idea that this guy, Nassam Nicholas Taleb, in his 2007 book, The Black Swan, he regards many scientific discoveries as black swans, or undirected and unprecedented. So almost random, or chaotic, or happening as, you know, as a result. He gives the rise of the internet, the personal computer, the First World War, as well as September 11th attacks as examples of black swan events. The term black swan comes from the ancient Western conception that all swans are white. In that context, a black swan was a metaphor for something that could not exist.
Hmm.
The 17th century discovery of black swans in Australia metamorphosized the term to connote that the perceived impossibility actually came to pass. Taleb notes that John Stuart Mill first used the black swan narrative to discuss falsification.
So, that seems really poetic. I like the whole story of it, of the term.
Yeah, totally.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that because no one ever saw a black swan, they figured it became this mythical creature that actually existed. In the world.
Yeah. And thus makes for a really, yeah, that's cool, man. That's really cool. Oh, so it's called mp3zer.com. Sorry to segue.
So what's that's the Russian site, yeah. That's better than Hype Machine?
It's a billion times better. mp3zr.com. It'll knock your socks off. Basically, you can type in any band you want, and it does the same thing Hype Machine does, where it crawls the web and finds the free downloads and lists them. So, like, I typed in Caius the other day, and it gave me a list 2 pages long of all these Caius songs I could just download right then and there.
And do you have to link over to the blog?
No, it gives you the link right then and there, and you download it.
That's the juice.
Or you can play it, or you can download it. It's insane. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And so you can find literally almost anything you want. Like, I typed in...
So it has like a flash player on the site?
Yeah, it has something. I don't know. It must be... It's not like a fancy, fancy player. It just plays it.
But whatever.
Yeah, and then you can download it right then and there. And it, you know, it's going to go bust soon, but mp3zr.com. God, it's amazing. It's a lifesaver.
Let's check it out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you're a big fan of Kings of Leon or not.
Massive.
You are?
The biggest.
So, did you get the new album?
Yeah, we have it in the studio, but I haven't, I don't own it personally.
Do you like it?
I love it. I do. I don't think it's as great as the previous album, but I still think it's really good. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
it's wonderful.
It's sort of like, I heard a reviewer sort of aptly put that he thought it was their stadium rock album.
Yeah.
Like, they've been playing these, like, in the UK, they're huge. In the UK, they're already a stadium rock band.
But are they, like, not in the States?
In the States, they're not.
Really?
Yeah, no one in the U.S.
Shocking.
Not no one, but they're much, much smaller in the U.S. than
yeah,
here.
That's amazing. You know, I remember I made the mistake of thinking that they were actually a U.K. band when I first, because I only heard about them when I came out here like 6 years ago. And I assumed they were a U.K. band because everyone out here loved them so much. And I'd never heard of them when I was in the States. But then, of course, they actually are from where they sound like, you know, they're from like Louisiana or whatever. I don't know where it is, but you know, they're from the States. They're from the Southern States or something. And so I made the exact same error. I had the same feeling about it when I first came out, but yeah, man, the new album's great.
I like it. I think it's cool. Each album is a little bit different. Like, there's different tracks on different albums that I like for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, but
it's always powerful, and it's all about, I mean, the singer is just amazing.
Yeah, well, on Hype Machine I found this track just sort of popped up. It's called Beneath the Surface. It's not on their new album. I've never heard it before. Maybe it's like an upcoming release or something they're working on for another album or whatever. Anyways, I thought it was cool, thought we'd play it.
Bury me beneath the surface.
That's the B-side, I found out. It's the B-side to his, this is the track Sex on Fire, which I find the I find the lyrics, too, just completely ridiculous.
I wasn't even listening to the lyrics. I was just feeling the jam.
No. The lyrics to this one are called Beneath the Surface, but this is the B-side to their single right now, which is called Sex on Fire.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the lyric? Can you repeat the lyrics? Is it family friendly?
He says, the chorus is, "Whoa, this sex is on fire." Which makes me think, you know, maybe you got to get that checked out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a good sign when it burns, buddy.
And the urine is lava. Yeah. Wow, man.
So they're not known for the depth of
that's a good stadium lyrics. That's a good stadium rock anthem lyric, though, in my opinion. You know, that's the kind of thing that gets a stadium pumping.
Yeah.
Axl Rose would approve. No, so, good one.
Isn't November Mustache Month? They call it Movember.
No, I don't know. Yeah, we talked about. Yeah, you're right. You're right. We discussed this last year, didn't we?
Did we?
I think we did.
I was reading somewhere in a magazine. There's like a men's hair shop where they're actually doing free mustache trimming and along with advice on how to groom your mustache and for as part of the Movember.
I could really use that information because I've been begging for years for the, you know, the powers that be like Gillette and Bic to come out with some really
Wilkinson Sword is sponsoring it.
Yeah, exactly. We need more fine tuning like facial hair control systems, you know, with like real detail because I don't have time to get out the scissors and like scissor the shape out of all of it. I want some power tools that'll do it in a delicate manner for me. And they don't exist. Although now they've come out with some new like quattro blade system or whatever where the backside has like a little tiny sort of cutter thing where you can get in the detail like Vanilla Ice triangle shapes into your beard if you want.
Yeah.
But that's what I need. I need this advice from the professionals.
Yeah.
Do they get sponsors like that dude from Magnum PI? Does he sponsor this month every year?
Tom
Selleck?
I don't know. Or maybe Kip from Napoleon Dynamite.
Listen, if you just hold the razor like this, you're really going to get a really nice look. So, you know. You're just jealous because I've been online chatting with babes all day.
You ever had a mustache, Mitch?
Did
you ever hate yourself enough to grow a mustache?
No, you know, I actually like having a mustache. Renica's
the one that disagrees.
It's always that way. Dudes are always like, yeah, right on, that's a sweet mustache. Yeah. And girls are always like, please.
Please, I don't want to date a used car salesman.
If you ever want me to kiss you again. So.
No, I was the same way. I mean,
the jury's out. The mustache is big. It's a man magnet.
Yeah.
Not a chick magnet.
Yeah. It's coming back in Shoreditch, though. Shoreditch, our local cool area in London.
Yeah, well.
They definitely appreciate it.
You know.
Only because it's underappreciated. But.
I've seen some styles there that are.
Should never be appreciated.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Man. MC Hammer could throw down a mega comeback in Shoreditch. So what we got coming up?
Okay, so I got one more pick, and then we'll close it. We can close it.
Yeah.
With yours. There's a new David Byrne album out.
Oh wow.
It's David Byrne and Brian Eno.
Oh man.
And it's really good.
Is it?
I mean, for those of you who don't know, Brian Eno worked on Remain in Light with the Talking Heads, and he did like Joshua Tree for U2. He's done like albums with Paul Simon, and he did Viva or Death and All His Friends for Coldplay.
He's done a lot of great stuff, but you've listened to his solo stuff. He's
originally from Roxy Music with Brian Ferry.
Yeah, but you've listened to his solo work, haven't you? A little bit here and there?
I haven't, actually.
I've tried on occasion. I've tried to introduce myself to it. And it's funny when you have this genius that works with so many great bands and produces so many great things, but then you listen to the solo work and it's difficult, like really difficult. And you got to wonder... I don't know. It's an interesting merger to see that he can make great music and he knows how to make great music with great bands, but on his own.
I think he's maybe like not really a musician, but a producer, you know, like that's.
Yeah.
You know,
I suppose.
It's part of the whole. It's a different skill, I think, you know, like producers are about, you know, the quality of sound rather than the melody. Or the rhythm.
And the making of the actual creation from nothing of the sound. It's the quality of the manipulation of what has been created.
But they also, I think they also push band, you know, it's another part of a producer is to push the band and to say, you know, okay,
like a life coach.
This sucks. This sounds just like everything else you've ever done. What do you know, give me something good. You know, I'm sure, you know, like,
yeah, there's a critical element to it that the band needs to hear. It's like an outside critical voice.
Right. So I don't know. I think that there's definitely like
Brian Eno needs an outside critical voice.
A role for a producer, and that's why, you know, bands hire them because they need somebody to guide them to in a different direction.
Yeah. Well, that's why the Ramones tried to hire Phil Spector. Didn't work out.
He's also worked with this guy, Daniel Lemoine, who's got some interesting music as well. Daniel Lemoine, who did some stuff for Peter Gabriel. I think he even did, I'm not sure, but I think that Eno did Peter Gabriel's So, and, you know, I don't know. He did some interesting stuff. And then I always thought that he'd done the Apple sound.
You said that he did that, yeah.
But then on Wikipedia it says that he did the Microsoft sound.
What's that sound?
I don't remember.
I have no idea what that is either.
It sounds like there's like a piano in it.
Oh. Really? Did he do the water droplet sound for the mouse click button? Good one, you know.
Anyways, so I like the album a lot. Here's a track called Strange Overtones that I think is fun, and check it out.
was classic Dave Byrne.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah. I like it a lot. That was great. It was nice and simple because if you give him half a chance, he'll get all world music and he'll get like half of Africa and two-thirds of Brazil together to record an album. And it's like, dude, just make what you used to make, you know? Let's do it. Let's get all normal here. It's great. I like that.
Yeah.
I hope he continues on that path. I think that's cool.
The whole album kind of has that vibe. There's different, you know, feelings to it, but
yeah.
I think it's Ryan Eno kind of reined him in a bit, I guess, you know.
Yeah. No, that was great. That was really good. How did you come across that exactly?
Well, believe it or not, I am a Zune user.
Oh.
Rather than an iPod user, even though I love Mac products, Apple products, a friend of mine gave me a Zune. And it's actually a lot of fun. They have this thing. It's like 10 or 15 bucks a month.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unlimited music.
Oh, whatever, nice.
Whatever you want. Anything, all of it, you know, at your disposal. You can play it on your computer and you can play it on your Zune, but you have to have a PC in order to run it.
But you can handle that.
Yeah, I mean,
you've got your boot camp or whatever.
Yeah. So it's not that big a deal. I just sort of found out about it right when it came out. I think the album's only a week old or whatever. Checked it out. It's pretty good.
Awesome.
So.
Well, man, this has been a good show. Loads of good finds.
Yeah, lots of music.
Baby Bailey, maybe you can chip in next time.
Oh, guess what?
What?
Lee the Dark had a kid.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Little baby boy.
Congratulations, Lee.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a little boy. Do you know the name yet?
I could find out. I'll find out.
Is it Lee Jr. the Geek?
It's Lee the Baby.
Lee the Baby Boy.
No, I don't know.
cool, man.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. So, it's Henry.
Henry.
Yeah.
Nice. Hank and Lee.
Yeah. So, I don't know how many of you out there still remember Lee, but he's a proud papa.
Mm.
And, so.
Man, that's an exciting world ahead of him. I'm curious what Lee's lady friend is like. She must be hip. She must be crazy hip.
She must be super cool.
Mm.
I wonder if she knows more about music than he does.
No, that's hard to imagine. He's a walking encyclopedia. She would have to have invented the genre of music. Well, cool, man. Should we kill it?
Yeah, Bailey's getting anxious.
Yeah.
I think she heard her, or she's teething.
It's bedtime for Bonzo. Well,
so we should probably call it so she can go to bed. But
well, you're away on holiday next week, so it'll be 2 weeks till next time.
Yeah.
And happy travels, Mitch and
Thanks,
Ren.
Dude. So this last one, you want to tell us about the death set, Dan?
Oh, I don't know much about him other than that. I like the message in it, and it was a halfway decent techno song, and you don't come across halfway decent techno songs too often. So I thought it was good.
Cool.
Enjoy.
Night, everyone.
I'm not trying to be unfair. It's just that
negative
thinking ruined your life.
Negative thinking. Negative thinking. Negative thinking.
If I felt cynicism, I'd wrap it in a blanket of discontentment. Fuck that. I feel better knowing that I decided not to. When you were looking around, you revealed to the right. Did you notice that? And I feel better knowing that I decided not to. In hindsight, I don't want to be like the people I like.
Thinking.